So appreciative of our church and what God is doing here. I want to remind you that next Sunday night, December 1st, can you believe it? December is here. Thanksgiving and the beginning of Advent all begin within days of each other. So December 1 at 5 o'clock, we'll have our season-ending children's choir night of worship. And then the next Sunday, we'll have Dr. James Lewis coming to share in our morning service. You do not want to miss Brother James Lewis and the message he's going to bring. And then that night, we will have our Christmas worship celebration. So you want to look at your bulletin, make sure you are involved in everything that's going on in these weeks leading up to Christmas as we praise the Lord. Today, I want to share, I'm going to take a brief pause from our series, Daystar, out of 1 Peter. I want to share a message today I've entitled, I Thank God for My Normal Christian Life. Psalm 113 begins with the old King James Version, Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you get it? Do you see what he's trying to get you to focus on? Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And then the verse many of us memorized as a child, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. I think he makes it perfectly clear. The Lord is to be praised by His people. The Lord is to be thanked by His people. Whatever you did this week pales in comparison to stopping and praising God for who He is and thanking God for what He did for you. And if we went through this week and we experienced the blessings of the Lord, and we didn't stop for a moment just to say thank you, we miss one of the greatest opportunities to relate and to experience the presence of God. He inhabits the praises of His people. This is just a natural, life-giving experience. And so today, I want you and I to focus on the Christian life God gives us and promises everyone who comes to Him in faith. I want to just focus on something that happened in our world recently. It gives a contrast. Jaguar, the renowned luxury British car company, decided to go woke. They decided, evidently, the only people who can afford their expensive cars are young and woke. And so they began their campaign with this new slogan called Copy Nothing. Now, what's interesting about their new campaign, it never showed the car. There's, in all of their advertising, there's no car in it. It's just one different person after the other. The marketing director came and said, let me tell you what we're trying to accomplish. This is our message. We're on a transformative journey of our own, driven by a belief in diversity, inclusion, creativity, policy, and most importantly, action. We've established over 15 DEI groups, such as Pride, which are here tonight. I could not have figured that out by the graphic, but I see it now. And Women in Engineering and Neurodiversity Matters. We've launched major policy revisions such as transitioning at work to drive equity and support for our communities, embracing individuality as our superpower. Well, if that's not a word salad, I don't know what is. What they basically mean is, we are different on purpose, and we're going to focus on individuality, and you get to choose your own individuality, and that is the most powerful thing you can do to identify yourself and be different in your own little world. Contrast to that, in the very same time, another car company introduced their new campaign, and they focused on the fact they have built the safest Volvo car ever made. They ran a 3-minute ad to introduce this car. And it's a mini story of a husband and a wife, and the wife comes and tells the husband, "I'm pregnant." And he's so excited. They find out it's going to be a little girl. And he tells his mother, "You're going to be a grandmother." All the while, as we're watching this story unfold of a husband and a wife expecting their first child, a lady expecting to be a grandmother, interspersed is pictures of this new Volvo driving throughout the city. And then you see more. The baby is born, and people are celebrating, and the little girl has birthdays, and there's this wonderful little child, and we see her grow up, and she's still a little girl, and one day she crosses the street and is not paying attention. And here comes traffic. And the first car comes, and it appears she is going to be hit by the car, but it's this new Volvo. And with its new technology, it senses the little girl and stops immediately. And the little girl is saved. And Volvo says, "We've just built the safest Volvo ever made." It's a pro-family market. It's pro-family. It's moms and dads and babies and safety and grandmothers. And here we have a world that's gone woke and a world that says maybe it's time to just go back to normal. The things that God has planned. And you and I have an opportunity. Hear me today. I love exciting things. I love fireworks at the 4th of July. I love it when my football team comes from behind and scores the winning touchdown in the last seconds of the fourth quarter, and we get to rush the field. Well, I don't do that anymore. I'm a little beyond that. But watching other people rush the field. These are exciting things. I love to hear the sound of a NASCAR on a short track coming out of the fourth turn, and I'm standing in the grandstands, and that driver is accelerating to full power into the front straightaway. Man, that's exciting. I love high moments in life, but they're like fall leaves. If you haven't been to the mountains yet, it's too late. It lasts 10 days. If you don't hit those 10 days, it sticks on a big old trunk on its hillside. That's it. It only lasts for just a little while, but the rest of the year is your normal life. It's the rising of the sun and the going down of the same. It happens every day. Like clockwork, the sun comes up and the sun goes down. The day begins and the day ends. The night begins and the night ends. And you live life. I thank God for my normal Christian parents. They both were raised in Christian homes. One on a sharecropper's farm, and one in a house in the south side of Savannah. They both came to faith in Christ, were baptized. Dad came to the city to find a job and saw that beautiful, dark-haired Frances Carnes, and They dated and got married, and 3 years later, Greg came along, and 2 years after that, Janet came along, and Dad went to work, worked at the same factory 42 and a half years. Mom stayed home, worked in the spring at H&R Block for some mad money, and we went on vacations in the camper in the summertime, and I experienced a Christian home as a child. When my dad passed away a little over a month ago, they had been married 65 years. I never had a moment where I came home and ever worried about Mom and Dad not getting along or not even being there. I was raised in a simple, normal Christian home. When you look at the things God calls us to, He calls us to do simple things, normal things, the things that He's designed. Don't worship any other God because there are no other gods. I am alone to be worshiped. Rule one. Now, how hard is that? And don't try to make up any other gods. Don't have any idols out there. Don't fool yourself. Worship me and worship me alone. When I think about God's plan for our life and how He comes to us and He just simply says, and if you're going to worship me, don't misuse my name. And don't misuse my day. Remember the Sabbath. It's different. Don't treat it like any other day of the week. You need it. I deserve it, God says. Set it aside. Get your rest. Get with the family of God and refocus your life. We need it every week. He says simple things like, respect your parents, kids. And don't murder. And don't commit adultery. And honor your marriage vows. Don't steal. If it's not yours, leave it alone. And don't lie while you're at it. Tell the truth. And don't covet what other people have. Be thankful for what you do have. These are the normal things of life, and my parents taught me that. I thank God that I was raised in a normal Christian home. I thank God that my parents took me to a normal Christian church. I cannot remember one moment in my life where I was not at church. From the earliest moment in my memory, I have memories of Mr. O.T. Anker Sr. He was an old man. He taught my Sunday school lesson. When I look back, he probably wasn't any much older than I am now, but in my mind, the man was old. Later on, when I worked on a committee, I was a college student, I was on the same committee with Mr. O.T. Ankers Jr., and I thought he was old. We had RAs, and Mr. Holcomb and Coach Bragg taught us Royal Ambassadors and about missions, and our church was large enough. We had our own church basketball, just like here, and I played church league basketball, and we had a gym, and I went to children's choir on Wednesday night, and we go to festival and sing, Little Lamb, Little Lamb, Little Wayfaring Lamb, why have you gone astray? And that song would end up in my mind. I always remembered how the shepherd would leave the 99 just to come find Little Lamb, Little Lamb, Little Wayfaring Lamb. As a child, that message never left me. It was just a simple, normal children's choir song. I thank God that adults came and volunteered their time to teach me And my parents volunteered to teach children and to serve in the church, and it was just a normal Christian Baptist church. I thank God for that. I thank God that at the age of 12, a normal Christian Sunday school teacher came to my house after work. It was a hot summer day. We were beginning the new year, and he was bringing my quarterly. Now, we don't do that anymore, but that's the way it was way back when in these normal Baptist churches. And that way, the teacher got to know and come to your house, and it wasn't a long visit, just drop off. But he was an insurance salesman. I didn't know what insurance salesmen really were. I was in sixth grade. I knew enough to know the terms. But that fellow had worn a suit. He had taken his jacket off that day, and he had a long-sleeved white shirt. I'll never forget this. He had taken scissors. Now, this tells you how hot it gets in Savannah in August. He had taken just plain old scissors and had cut the sleeves off of his white long-sleeved shirt. It was just as he got so fired up hot, he just cut it off. Well, when you're wearing a jacket, it don't matter. Well, it got so hot, he took the jacket off and could care less what people saw of his shirt that he had just butchered with him. And I remember him coming in, and he asked me a question. He said, Greg, he said, you've gone to church all your life, hadn't you? I said, yes. He said, have you ever given your life to Christ? I said, no, I haven't. He said, have you ever made that decision, the most important decision anyone could ever make? I said, no, I haven't. I said, but I've been thinking about it a lot. I've been talking to my parents. And he said, well, you know, you don't have to wait to go to church to pray and ask Jesus to save you. You can do it anytime. You could do it tonight. And that's all he said. That's all I can remember. And he left the quarterly and left. And that night, on 5625 Lafitte Drive, I asked my mother, can I pray and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Can I pray and get saved? She said, you sure can. And we went back in my bedroom, the front far bedroom in that little 1,300 square foot house. And I knelt down by my bed, and my mother sat on the edge of the bed. I can see her right now. I can't remember the words that I said. But more than likely, it was just a normal plea to God. Oh, Jesus, forgive me and save my soul. From that moment, I have never been the same. I've never doubted my salvation. Now, I have not always served God faithfully, but He has always faithfully loved me. And He has taught me, and He has raised me as His own, who came back like that little lamb. He found me and invited me to come back home. And I said, yes, Lord, and I was saved at the age of 12. It would take me months and months because I was a very, very shy child. And it was a large, long, rectangular sanctuary. It sat 1,200 people. It was about the size, it seemed about the width of this, and it would go straight back. And we sat about two-thirds of the way back. My dad always sat on the end pew, the end of that row. And it had this tall end cap. Ours kind of goes down. This one went straight across. My dad always put his arm up there. And I asked, Dad, could I sit on the end of the pew? It would help me make that decision. And he said, sure, son. And he thought I was coming that Sunday. I didn't come that Sunday. It took me 3 months, just as I am, without one plea. Have thine own way, Lord. Over and over again. I just couldn't do it. We were on television and the stage was lit up bright and the sanctuary was dark where we were sitting and those bright television lights on the stage, and I thought it was like something in The Wizard of Oz, and I'm just like, man, I just cannot. Finally, I remember that one Sunday And I stepped out. I just took, the pastor said, if you'll just take one step, he'll take the rest. And that's exactly what happened. I took one step and cannot remember walking down that aisle. I went right to the pew. I didn't go to my pastor. I went right to the pew. And I made my public profession of faith. A few weeks later, I was baptized with Scotty Salter at the age of 12. There is nothing dramatic about my salvation. Now, let me tell you something. He will save you. If you're the thief on the cross, the last minute, if you will confess your sin and call him Lord and place your faith in him, let me tell you something. The thief on the cross even had a chance there on the cross dying. Both of them had a chance. One said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom, your king. And the other one said, no. Cursed him and died. Let me tell you something. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. There's somebody addicted to drugs that you know. We've got people literally in the shadow of this church, in the shadow of this church, who literally are under the oppression of addiction and demonism, and they've burned every bridge that they know. They are living in utter rebuke and contempt of God and all things true. They are tearing themselves down. They are hurting so bad. They don't want to live like that, but they're in the clutches of the devil. We cannot give up on anyone. The Lord doesn't give up on you, and the Lord doesn't give up on me. And you and I need to keep, now it's their choice. And I thank God that you and I have the opportunity. Many of us here today were raised in Christian homes. And you've gone to a normal Christian church, and you were saved as a child, and you've lived the normal Christian life. But not everybody has had that opportunity. But you and I can thank God that we're in the place to give, even to those who haven't received. And I thank God that when I was about 21 years of age, in the choir loft of Calvary Baptist Temple came a new alto. And I'm telling you, I was so excited. I looked over across the choir loft. I can remember the song we sang in children's choir. I can't remember any songs we sang that night in that choir practice. I just looking at that blonde over in the new alto section. And as God would have it, we got to know each other and started dating, and God spoke to both of us that we have finally arrived. Our prayers have been answered. We have found the person God wanted us to marry. And I thank God for 39 and a half years, I have had the privilege of having a normal Christian marriage. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I've had the privilege of being married to Terry. God bless us with two wonderful sons now, two wonderful daughter-in-laws, and four wonderful grandchildren. I've had the privilege of working and trying to finish my day and do what I'm supposed to do and work so I can get back home at the end of the day and spend that time with Terry. I'm so grateful that the Lord has blessed me with a normal Christian marriage. Now, I could go on and on. We could sing the great hymn, Count Your Blessings, and there would be many blessings to count. But there's a couple things that I had to step back and said, you know, there's two things among many things that I'd have to come to you today and say that are not normal in my life. Now, there are things on this earth that are extraordinary, they're rare, they're of great value. But in heaven, they're just commonplace. Take, for instance, gold. Gold is a great treasure on earth. It represents the most valuable things, like marriage, economies. But you know what they use it for in heaven? Asphalt. Asphalt. The streets are paved with gold. It's just asphalt in heaven. So valuable here, so commonplace there. And there's something that is just so commonplace in heaven. It has always been there. It will always be there. And yet, it's a rare treasure here on earth. But you can have it. You can experience it. I will mention two things. Mercy of God and the goodness of God. They are commonplace in heaven. God has always been merciful, and He's always been good and always will be. But here on earth, it's a rare thing for you to experience it. In fact, many reject it. It's there, it's offered. They can experience it, but most people will turn away and say, no, I don't need it, I'm good enough, I don't have to have it, I'll follow my own gods, I'll carve my own idols, I'll do it my way, and they will not humble themselves and receive the mercy of God. A few weeks ago, we sang the song, I Got Saved. And in that is a part of that song, I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. It's still such an amazing treasure to know that God showed you His mercy when you and I deserved His wrath. And God was merciful to me. And He was merciful to you. And then He was good to us. And He gave us His grace. And He gave us His goodness. And He gave us life and the gifts that only God can give. And I'm undone by that. It's not normal. It's not what this world functions on and strives for. We seek for pride, and we seek for exaltation of the self. And God says, I inhabit a place where the humble and the contrite exist, and they exist in the high and lofty places with me, with me. God is willing and waiting and wanting to shed on your life and my life, His mercy. If you think you've gone too far, stop now. You have not gone too far. If you've got breath in your body, stop and turn around and come to Christ. He will be merciful to you, and He will be good to you. Follow Him as your Lord and Savior. Trust in Jesus Christ. No, it's not fancy. It's the same message the church has been preaching for thousands of years. But could it be today is your day? This preacher with a suit on is asking you, have you ever made the most important decision of your life? Have you ever turned from your old life of selfishness and sin and turned to Jesus in faith? If you haven't, today is your day. Today is your day. We have much to be thankful for. The shepherd put it this way, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, of my ordinary, normal life for those who walk with the Lord. You can have that. Come to Jesus today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we come to you and ask you, Lord, that you have your way. You do what only you can do in our life. The Lord, if there are those who have yet to give their life today to you, I pray today they would come. And they would say, Jesus, I need you. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, turn from your sin, place your faith in Christ, confess that he is Lord. He will save you. He will not turn you away. He will receive you. Come home. Come home to God. Somebody needs a church home, and God's calling you here. Somebody else may be just, we've just been going hard and distracted, and you just need to stop and praise Him. Thank Him. Let this song be an opportunity to confess your appreciation and love for God and your desire to follow Him. But if you need to make a public decision, today's your day. Why don't you come? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you?